The podcast for highways and transport technologies professionals. This is Highways Voices.
Hello, welcome again to Highways Voices, where this week we come to you from SWARCO's user group meeting in Coventry, where the theme was connected industry, not just connected vehicles and digital infrastructure, but the way the highways and transport sector itself is becoming more connected, collaborative, and innovative. This episode features a panel discussion that was held in front of the audience, where we brought together perspectives from across the industry. Derek McLean, the head of product and solutions at SWARCO, his colleague Andrea Newman, who's urban systems manager, Richard Ling, the head of parking and traffic management at Cambridge County Council, and Peter Eccleson, managing director of Smart Micro UK, got together to discuss with me how suppliers, technology companies, and local authorities can work together more effectively to deliver better outcomes for road users. From the challenges of securing funding and navigating procurement rules to embracing emerging technologies, AI and data-led decision making, our guests explore how the industry can move faster while ensuring innovation genuinely solves real-world problems. It's an honest and frankly optimistic conversation about partnerships, progress and the future of traffic management. So let's kick it off.
So the theme of the last couple of days has been connected industry. We've been not talking about connected in the way that we talk about connected vehicles and cybersecurity and that sort of thing, but the industry getting connected together to work better together for a better, basically, road user experience for the people that use the road. Start with you, Peter, because you've been around the block in this industry a few thousand times, and I guess one of the changes that certainly in the 25 or so years I've been involved is the difference in the way that we've gone from basically sticking the roads down and letting people use them to actually being more of a management of the road network as well. Would you agree that's something that we've done, and are we actually any good at it?
Yeah, I think we are. And I think one of the things that comes to light is how fast technology moves, really. And I think to a degree, because of the restrictions on the financial restrictions and regulatory restrictions, I think we're a bit slow to pick up on some of that technology because it does move fast.
So how can we actually move on? We've just had a session beforehand where one of the conversations was about the difficulty of a lot of the solutions that are coming along now are far more applicable to revenue funding rather than capital funding, but revenue funding is a much more difficult thing to secure. How are we going to actually solve that catch-22?
Difficult one, Paul. It always has been, hasn't it? Right from day one. I think I had this conversation earlier with one of the partners here, and revenue is always a big issue for local authorities. Capital is always potentially easier to get hold of. Revenue is always the thing that hits the local authorities. And until that issue is resolved, I don't think it's going to be easy, to be honest.
Okay, Richard, you're nodding along there. What is the experience like for a local authority?
Just talking about the Smart Micro product, it looks like a capital amount. It's always spending more money. But if you flip it to say that product is actually saving money, we've had a lot of pothole issues this year. Going into roads 50 years ago to recut loops, it was a Sunday morning, no traffic management properly. Now it's a very expensive thing to do. So if you actually turn it into, it's an investment that actually then takes pressure off of revenue, I think you can look at it very differently.
And is that what you're successfully able to do? Have you got a kind of blueprint that others could follow on that?
I've had colleagues who, you know, they know they're planning out a road. They've seen the loops in the road. They're saying, oh, well, we need to get them back in the roads. Don't give me the money to put the loops back in the road. Give me the money to invest in the other technology. So they've spent the money they were going to do. But it means that my colleagues also in 10 years' time are going to come back and go through the same loop again. Hopefully that technology would last another two generations of that road.
And are you finding, therefore, that you can actually do that, that money isn't so ring-fenced that if it's expected to be spent on something, you are able to go and spend it elsewhere? Or are there a lot of hoops to go through in order to actually achieve the spending on what you want to spend rather than what you're expected to spend?
Yeah, the money, it's not necessarily ring-fenced, but my colleagues in highways maintenance, they know they've got to spend that money to get the systems back up and working. So they're not, I don't think they really care too much what they're spending it on. But when you actually sell it to them that they're actually going to have a saving in that service or their colleagues in future years, time it is an investment in my eyes. And we've done that for quite a few years now. I think the problem is we've got many sites where we've got roundabouts with two or three lanes. If we have a loop in the middle of the lane, the stress of actually organising traffic management, do I actually manage our street work service as well? So I've got people queuing with each other, but it's, you can't go on that road at these hours. It's very restricted. So it's a lot easier having, you know, the emerging technologies that we're seeing from Smart Micro and AGD as well.
Okay. So Andy, what's your experience when it comes to actually looking at product and developing the products that people not only want, but can pay for?
So one of the things that we definitely try and look at with our systems is what the customers currently have. What we desperately try and do is connect what's already out on the street. So therefore, there's not a big outlay to change everything if you want to connect to the system. There is always some hurdles to get over, whether it's comms issues, whether it's very old product that's been out there for 50 odd years and hasn't got the technology that it needs to be able to connect to the newer systems. And that's where we find we're able to help the customers that little bit more in making that money go further. Because, yeah, we can connect up the assets that are currently out on the street and not say, okay, yes, you can have our new system. Yes, we can connect two of your controllers, but the other 300 you're going to have to replace with PTC3. No one's going to be able to do that. So we're quite realistic in what we can actually offer and then how we can support customers to get that done.
And is it a case of actually reacting differently to different authorities, or are the challenges the same wherever you go?
The challenges aren't always the same. So as Richard was saying, depending on the authority will depend on what funding they've got, will depend on what funding they've managed to get from the DfT, will be able to even ring fence certain things for certain types of development. We've seen over the past 2 years, the BSIP funding come out. Now, some councils have been very imaginative, shall we say, with what classes as bus improvement and whether a specific detector that might not actually have anything to do with buses, but could clear other traffic out the way, could then improve the bus route that it happens to sit on. So there has been some quite creative ways of being able to spend that money and ring fence the money, but we know that's not available to all authorities. And even the authorities that are in this room, everyone's a different size authority. They've got different amounts of resources. They've got different amounts of funding. We have to make a system that can ebb and flow with what it is they need and what funding they've got at that time to be able to support it.
Derek, what are the challenges that wake you up in the middle of the night?
From a business point of view, the challenges for me are twofold. The first one is making sure that whatever technology we are building, developing, selling is an enabler for our local authorities, for our customers. It has to enable the journey, has to enable something, whether that's safety, whether that is traffic flow, we have to enable that for our customers. The second thing is we need to make it really easy to buy from us. We need to make it so that all our customers know everything that we can do, not just as an individual product, not just as an individual asset, but talk about the whole thing. What can we do in its entirety? We saw some of the comments about we didn't know about this product, didn't know about that. So that's down to us now to make sure that we can articulate that really well.
Is it a case of actually you turning up for the authority and helping them write their business case, helping actually do all the legwork for them because you've actually done it over and over again in different parts of the country? This could be the first time they're doing it. So as you say, make it as easy as possible in every aspect and understanding the challenges and therefore helping them get over them.
100%. I'd like to write all bids for all our customers. That would be incredible because it would only be Swarco. But what we need to do is talk to our customers and communicate and collaborate with customers. There's nothing better in my mind, especially from a product guy, going having a whiteboard session with a customer, drawing up what their requirements are, drawing up what they need, what their customers need, and then being able to put that into some kind of document, some kind of presentation to make sure they know what they can have, because a lot of customers, they don't know everything that we can do. And that, I think that goes for the industry in general. So we need to make sure that as we talk to our customers, we collaborate with them and make sure that they do understand that. And a good workshop session is, and I will literally go anywhere and do a workshop session with anybody, because they're brilliant. They get so much information out.
Which is at the point of the 2 days that you've got here in the user group. It is a very open forum where it's not just sitting here for the last 2 days, but we're Swarco, aren't we brilliant? You're actually wanting to hear feedback, good and bad, so that you can respond to your customers in the best way.
We can't get better without talking to our customers and listening to their feedback. We are not perfect. What we do isn't perfect, but having these kinds of forums with our partners in the room, as well as our customers, as well as product teams, as well as sales teams, as well as finance teams, just to see what we can do in general, from all the way through from Rory, from innovation, going, this is what we are going to be doing down the line, to the guys who are deploying this stuff. Then having all of those people in the room with our customers, with our partners, actually is brilliant, because it opens up the conversation. And the conversations the past 2 days have been very open, very honest. I think a few people have held back, which is appreciated, but we've had some really good conversations.
Richard, when it comes to actually dealing with suppliers, what are you looking for from them? What support, what knowledge, what expertise when they turn up in the room in order to properly deliver what you need to deliver? What do they need to do for you?
I think Del's point about today, the event over the last 2 days has really raised awareness across. Now, we're at a Swarco event. If we're at a competitor's event, they'd be talking naturally about their products. But I think it is getting local authorities to think about the next generation. We need technology to build us out of this issue that we've had. The challenge, when Del was speaking, raised my head, is we were talking about my city with Swarco. But what I can't do as a local authority is say, Dell, I want to buy that product. We have procurement regulations. I know one of the challenges we've got in local authorities is actually specifying something to buy that then can be open competition. Well, years ago, when we used to buy a Scoot system, there were suppliers, but you could only buy Scoot. Now we keep seeing a lot of innovation across different competitors in the industry. And I think local authorities are challenging. That's maybe why we're holding back a bit. How would we actually specify that product that would give us a low level playing field? And I think that is a challenge that we've got at the moment.
And Peter, what's the biggest challenge for you as a supplier? Is it the lack of budget for the customer, or is it even that procurement actually makes it quite difficult? If you've got a brilliant new system that no one else has got, they can't get 3 quotes for the same thing because you're the only one that's supplying it. What are the challenges that you, if you had a magic wand, would change?
Procurement is a big one. I agree with Richard. We quite often get our customers who will say to us, I'd like to buy a product, but it's got to go through procurement. You're not on our framework, or we've got to buy it through a certain route. So that can be an issue for us. But to me, it's getting the message across to the client about, A, the usefulness. So it's creating the demand for the product in the first place. Going back to whether that technology will actually save the client money at the end of the day, and getting that message across. And then in terms of keeping the client, that's also an important thing for us. And the only way you keep your client is to be flexible and to give a good level of service to the client. That goes to Swarco as well as any of the other suppliers in this area.
I'm interested actually in the fact that obviously Swarco is an Austrian company. You were bought by Smart Micro, which is German. Do they have the same challenges in other parts of the world, in other parts of the continent, or do they do it better elsewhere?
No, Paul, I don't think they do it as well elsewhere, to be honest with you. I talked to my colleagues in Germany. I can say this, and this is not boasting, but colleagues in Germany, they tend to deal with the city level or the higher level within the Swarcos or the Unixes of this world. And they don't get down to the client level, down to the user if you like. They've looked at my model in the UK, and my model in the UK was quite simple. I went to the market influencers. So I started off with the local authorities. I went to the consultants, and I spent an awful lot of time building that trust with those clients before we got to create the demand. And the demand came through the Swarcos, the Yonexes, the Talents of this world. And that allowed us to sit back a wee bit and create our support network around those sales outlets, if you like.
So how does it work for Smart Micro? Do you sell direct to the authority, or do you sell to Swarco, who include it in a wider suite of products that they're providing to their clients?
Both. Some local authorities come to us directly. Some local authorities go through the maintenance contractor, which could be Swarco. Equally, they get the same degree of service or the same level of service out of us. We've had a whole program of training Swarco staff, for example, now in supporting our product, and we're trying to get to a position where we have a product champion within certain areas within Swarco who can provide their colleagues with first level support or first line support on our product, and then we could support it second and third line.
And I mentioned earlier that you've been in the industry since God was a boy, and therefore you've seen how the industry has changed. Have things improved when it comes to collaboration and people actually working together and delivering, and have we still got a way to go?
Yeah, somebody once said to me, I was in the industry when the Dead Sea reported sick. It has changed a lot, Paul, and I think system integration has become more and more important, and you touched on it, I think, earlier. A lot of our products, for example, are built into other people's products. And I think I had a situation in Blackpool not so long ago where our product was integrated and required to be integrated into My City, for example. You see a lot of that within the industry now. And yeah, it has improved a lot since my days when I first came into the industry, and with the big players, it was Siemens, Peak, etc. And they tended to sell in very small kind of areas, if you like, and never talk to each other.
Andy, you are nodding furiously.
Yeah, so we would like everyone to buy all Swarco products throughout all of their systems and all of their assets and everything we can offer. But we know that's just not suitable and not for all customers. What we want to do is provide an open platform so that we can integrate directly with other suppliers and other partners and make sure we offer the right service and the best service we can to the customers. So us working directly with Smart Micro on the Blackpool project, I'm hoping Neil will say it worked all right. But it was great. We can cross collaborate, pick up the phone, talk to each other. We know each other quite well in terms of relationships, and we like building those relationships with other suppliers as well as with customers. And then we can actually go to the customers when we've got those good relationships and actually pass that information on to the customers as well, which is then beneficial for both and all parties, really.
So it sounds that things are going actually quite well, and that there's a satisfaction that sometimes you go to events and you get people actually, you feel like you're in quite a good place. What could make it better?
There's a whole variety of things, but realistically, we are in a good place, but we've had to work hard to get to the good place. Okay. We're not perfect. We don't do everything right. We've still got the challenges and struggles that we've had previously, but things are improving, things are getting better. Communications, even just the amount of people we've now got at the user group, which even 4 years ago was a lot smaller than it currently is now. And that a lot of that is due to our open communication and our willingness to listen and us engaging with the customers to make sure that the user group isn't the only time they hear from us, or contract renewal a month before isn't the only time they hear from us. They hear through us, they hear from me continuously, whether they want to or not. But that's because we want to build the good relationships with the customers and move stuff forward and provide the innovation and the technologies that we can use moving forward, whether it's with partners or whether it's with our own innovation as well.
And Derek, when we talk about innovations and technologies and so forth, where's the inspiration coming from? Is it coming from the customers, or is it coming from very clever R&D people in this country or even in other parts of Swarco around the world? How are you actually making sure that you're developing and delivering what people want and need.
We're going through this process right now of working out budgets for 2027. So we're looking at what we are developing over the next couple of years. One of the great things we do is, as a product team, is, I mean, ideally we would design the products that we want to do because they're brilliant, but that's not realistic. Customers absolutely need to tell us what they want. Salespeople need to tell us what they think is worthwhile in the industry. We need to look at other industries to see what is developing in parallel. So is for AI, for instance, is a massive topic. What are other industries doing with AI? How can we use that kind of information to better our products? But really, it's about listening to our customers, looking at what they are currently doing. How can we just improve that by 10%. If our technology can improve that again by another 10%, then we're really making strides forward. So we have to listen. We have to open our eyes, come a little bit left field, because some of the best products that we make have come from thinking way outside the box, having really good sessions with the customer, going, what if we do that? And if we do, how can we do that? And if that isn't quite the same, how do we make that happen? So being very open right at the start of development cycles, and then narrow that down all the way through, talking to our customers, talking to our sales teams, talking to the guys on the street who are deploying this or configuring this. That's the vital piece that we are getting actually really very good at.
Richard, I notice you writing things down, but I can't actually see what you're writing, but I'm fascinated with the notes you've been taking.
We'll just go there. I put some words, listen and industry leaders. I think this format is very good because Dale and Andy can listen to us. We ramble on, and then actually what we need is the industry leaders to go, they keep talking about this. We've actually got an idea how we can solve that. And then we come back next year and suddenly there's a solution for us. And I think that's where we work working together. It's not a case of, oh, we've got this really good in product from our partners in X, we want to sell lots of it. So we're going to go and try and ram it down somebody's throat for a solution that they don't actually need. I think the solutions that we've seen over the last few years, you can see the connections with MyCity, it's actually providing something we need. And we haven't got money to spend on things we don't need. I think that's working well.
And talking of money, one of the things I was impressed listening to Max Sugarman from ITS UK earlier today is the fact that you as a local authority will have seen competing suppliers getting together to work on the Stuck on Red campaign to actually highlight an issue that is facing our industry and making it an issue that needs to be solved and making politicians realise that.
It's good to see. I think it needs everybody joined up to address the issue of investment in traffic signals. I think as local authorities, we're engineers, we do the best we can, we stretch the asset. But when we've got the high percentages of obsolescence that we can see on the charts that ITS UK pulled together, I think we do need to wake up and fight our corner, really.
I remember being at JCT Traffic Signal Symposium where a comment was made that we can do all sorts of clever things in highways and transport technology now, but when it comes down to it, the single best tool that we have to manage the movement of little tin boxes around our streets and therefore to improve the movement of, say, buses is still the traffic signal. It's by far the most effective. Would you agree with that?
Yes, the big control thing, isn't it? It's the red, amber, green that we've seen for many years. But although the best thing to move a bus is an actual bus lane, but if you've been to Cambridge in our medieval city, we can't really knock down King's College to put a bus lane in. We've got to use technology. And the thing with signals, that when they started, they were just doing traffic, keeping people safe. But then we introduced pedestrians and we're doing a lot more for cycling and buses. Unfortunately, all of those users all want to be top of the pile. And as a local authority, it's getting that balance. But yeah, traffic signals have still got a strong part. We keep talking about autonomous vehicles. And in time, maybe we won't need traffic signals because they'll all talk to each other. I think we're going to be a long way off there, though.
Just to finish, actually, with you, Richard, I mentioned the magic wand, and we're talking about connected industry and all working together to deliver a proper road network for users. If I could wave a magic wand for you, what would you wish for?
What would you want? we talked about traffic signals and we talked a lot about the journey, and we all go on Google Maps. We say, I came from Cambridge, I put my destination in, and to come to here, it gave me a route. But it's that sort of joined up journey that we still don't think about too much. In Cambridge, we've done a lot for pedestrians, and waiting at a set of signals and seven of them for a minute is quite a long journey, but we wouldn't accept it in a car. So yeah, it's looking at that full journey and putting technology in to optimise that for all users as well. Again, it's a big challenge.
Peter, I'm now offering you a magic wand.
As I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see an industry quicker to embrace new technology. We talked about, or Richard touched on AI or something earlier, and the value of what the technology can deliver. I go back to 2015 when I first introduced smart micro radars to this market. The data was available on the radars, but nobody at the time wanted the data or knew how to use the data. Now, almost the buzzword in the industry is data. Everybody wants data. Well, it was always there. It was just bringing people's attention to it. So I think understanding and embracing the technology is important, and being able to, here we go, sales, purchase the technology as well and trial the technology is also equally as important. So we go back right around the circle, back to regulations, etc., things like Topaz and what have you. And I know that things like Topaz are being reviewed right now to try to broaden the regulations to accept new technology. And I think that's a good thing. And I think that's important. And I think that will help the industry develop over the next decade or so.
Andy.
So from my perspective, I want my magic wand to have everything that the customer's ever going to want on the system to be able to use, everything already developed and they're ready to go. But the other side of it is actually giving them the additional tools, whether it's AI, whether it's machine learning, whether it's something else, to be able to either confirm stuff to happen on the system without lots of manual intervention, so things just run, or just being able to get on and do something so that the systems don't become the hindrance to everyone's day-to-day jobs. They become the enabler for you to do more and more exciting things rather than, say, plugging away, staring at data, whatever it might be. You've got the tools there that it will provide you with that additional information and where you're going, what strategy you want to run, how it's going to affect moving traffic forward, how you add in the connected journeys, whether it's pedestrian green wave that goes through, it suggests it or it implements it all for you. And it all talks to each other. All of the different pieces of data talk together. So that there doesn't need to be the manual intervention to do stuff, because at the moment, and I think most people in this room can agree, one of the biggest stopping points for stuff moving forward is actually having the resources to think about it and actually then act on it. And that makes it very difficult to then the industry as a whole to move forward.
And Derek?
For me, it is about a couple of things. The first one is continuing on the point about regulations, but slightly differently. I think the route to market on innovation, we need an easier path through when we think of something, we create something. How do we get that into the market quicker? Because I think it takes a long time to get our innovations through the pipeline into our customers. That would be my first one. The second one is following on from Andy's point about data. It's the absolute magic wand would be somebody says, just type in what you want, and it'll tell you what data you've got in there in natural language. And I think that's closer than we've ever been.
Fantastic stuff. I think we've learned a lot in the half an hour, and I think it's very positive, and I very much enjoyed hearing a very positive viewpoint from everybody in this conversation, because sometimes you do get people, as I say, that bemoan, oh, woe is us, whereas actually I think there's a lot of reasons to be cheerful. So Richard, Peter, Andrea and Derek, thank you very much.
So the applause sums up what a great discussion I thought that was. And what did we learn from it? Well, perhaps the strongest message I got is that success in today's highway sector depends less on individual products and more on collaboration, whether it's local authorities working with suppliers, competitors partnering to solve industry-wide challenges, or technology providers integrating systems together. The future is increasingly connected. Our guests highlighted familiar barriers, constrained budgets, procurement complexities, and the pace of regulatory change. But there was also a clear sense of optimism. New technologies are creating opportunities to manage networks more intelligently, make better use of data, and improve journeys for everyone, from drivers and bus passengers to pedestrians and cyclists. We also heard how important it is for suppliers to listen, for customers to share their challenges openly, and for innovation to be driven by real operational needs rather than technology for technology's sake. The conversation leaves us with plenty of reasons to be positive about the future. The tools, expertise, and willingness to collaborate already exist. The challenge now is making it easier to turn ideas into reality. My thanks to Derek, Andy, Richard, and Peter for joining us on that panel session. Thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of Highways Voices. And we'll be back next week with some content from the Elcrig Innovation Festival in Warwickshire. Join me then.
Highways Voices is the podcast of Highways News, the website with more stories about the highways and transport technology industries, and our must-read daily email. Highways News really is the only place you need to go for everything you need to know.